The 2024 Predators playoff preview show on Stillman & Company. Stillman & Company live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game National Studio. Streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live. The Predators are set to take on the Vancouver Canucks in round one of the Stanley Cup playoffs. And we are joined now by Predators head coach Andrew Burnett here on the program. As we start off, Coach, first of all, congratulations on making the playoffs. I'm sure coming into the year, many did not pick you to do so, but here you guys find yourself. It really feels like for the last 2 weeks, you guys have found yourself in the playoffs, just waiting to know who, when and where, and we know the where and the who now, but maybe not so much the when, but congratulations, Coach.
Thanks. I appreciate it. It's been a grind, but it was, obviously to get in is always your first goal of every season, and to get in and give ourselves a chance is pretty exciting.
So I want to start with this. You know, Barry said that head coaches will never say whenever there's we could play this team or we could play that team, which team they want to play. And so I know that before yesterday, you probably would at least have said publicly that you were doing all your homework on every possible playoff opponent. Now that we know that it's going to be Vancouver, how much prep did you do before last night on Vancouver, and how much prep have you done on Vancouver since last night?
Well, I think, twofold question. I think we were prepared for, especially after Edmonton lost to Vancouver on Saturday, it sounded like Vancouver or Dallas. So I think we prepped for both teams, obviously not going overboard, but being familiar, especially with Vancouver, where we haven't seen them a whole lot since, I can't remember, it was game 15 or something, or 16, early in the season. So we weren't quite as familiar with them. With Dallas, we played them four times there in about a month and a half, 2 months. We were feel a little bit more comfortable exactly what they're doing. And again, like I said, Vancouver was a little while ago. So we probably prepped a little bit more for Vancouver, obviously ready for Dallas. And then you watch the game, although I fell asleep last night. And you wake up early this morning, and today's been – kind of a full day of Vancouver and, an exhaustive process here.
So what have we seen so far on the Canucks, Coach?
Well, they're a really good team. Obviously, lots of skill up front, really good power play. The penalty killing's been good. They've got really good goaltending now. DeSmith was good, but Demko is, one of the elite in the league, especially early in the year. I really thought he drove their team. They got some special players in Pettersson and Miller and Quinn Hughes. And so they got a little everything. And, Tok's done a really good job with that group. They play four lines. They play fast, kind of similar to the way we play. So it's going to be a fun, exciting time here.
So Andrew Burnett's our guest, Predators head coach. When you look at Vancouver, you watch the tape. Is there anything that you write down and say, okay, this is an advantage that we feel like the Predators will have going into this series? And if so, kind of what do you think you guys can do maybe to take advantage of maybe a weakness in Vancouver's game?
Well, I think right now I'm just in the process of seeing what they do and what they do really well is kind of how I usually start things. And then I look for ways to exploit them in different ways. They've been really good in their own zone. They got big defensemen that box you. We're going to have to really get inside. I know it's a recurring theme we say all the time. But for our group, that's going to be a little bit of a challenge for sure. Some of the things we do well fits into the things they do well. So I think it's looking for holes. I'm going to bit by bit here, probably tomorrow, start turning the page and looking for how to exploit them. Today, it's just getting familiar with their game, and their game's pretty tight. And it's going to be, like I said, it's be hard to get inside. They handle the rush pretty good, and obviously their goaltending. So, this time of year, teams are so good that you play. They don't have many holes, and we got to find a way to exploit a couple.
By the way, great answer on that one.
Preds coach Andrew Burnett is our guest here on the Preds playoff preview show. Bruno, you've got seven players who are expected to play in game one who have either never played a playoff game before or really only played a handful in the NHL. Is there anything that you, your staff, or the veteran players on this team will tell them to get them ready, or you kind of want them to just learn by doing it?
Yeah, I mean, I think you probably get a little bit from obviously being around a group that's been some long runs, the O'Reillys, the McDonoughs, the Shens, the Yossis, the Forsbergs. They've been to finals. They've been in those big games, Gus, Nyquist. So I think they can help. And as a coaching staff, we can help. And until you really go through it and experience it, it is a different level. The one thing I at least rest my head on my pillow a little bit is we've kind of been in these situations. Now, this is going to be a totally different ball game, but we've been playing kind of playoff-type hockey, playoff-type atmosphere for a while here now. And hopefully we understand it and treat it. It's not just another game, but really at the end of the day and being in enough games and playing them and coaching them, it ends up being just a game. Just the intensity is another level or two higher than you're used to. And once you get used to that, you know, you'll be okay and not to be overwhelmed and just try to stay in the moment and enjoy it. It's going to be hard, but I'm hoping, like I said, I feel a little bit better. We've been going through it here for the last little while.
You've said all season, and you just mentioned it there, you want your players to play with joy, and that joy will lead to wins. Where does the joy come in the grind of the playoffs?
Well, I think the joy comes with the camaraderie. When a group at this time of the year, just like our group, I feel especially that we're enjoying each other, and we've been selfless I'm not going to say to a fault, but we've been really selfless where everybody's excited, regardless who scores. I mean, if you watch our bench, when it doesn't matter who scores, you see joy. When you come to practice and watch us work hard and watch us battle and watch us enjoy each other and go hard, I see joy. So this group's been really, really dialed in, really close, and they're growing. I mean, I think I've been saying this all year. Like, seems like every game we're a little tighter, we're a little closer, we're having a little bit more fun. We're enjoying the big moments. We're enjoying the moments that maybe didn't get the result we wanted, but we enjoyed going back to work and going back at them. And that kind of defines that relentless word we've been using. And that's been that group. And there's joy in relentlessness, and there's joy in compete. And they've exemplified that here through the stretch.
Hey, Coach, Andrew Burnett is with us on the program. Coach, everybody talks about playoff experience and who has it and who doesn't. But you have playoff experience now as a head coach with your experience in Florida. Was there something that you wish that you knew going into the series in Florida, you know, going into your playoff year there as the interim coach, that you now feel like you have that you're going to apply into this playoff series and this playoff run?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's obviously you're always learning. There's things you can do better. Self-reflection is hard, not always fair at different times. But yeah, definitely there's a few things that I think I could have did better. And I'm very mindful, and I'll probably keep that to myself and what I need to do. But yes, I learned some things. We were in a totally different situation where we were a favorite, and obviously we won the President's Trophy, and you know, I think a lot of pressure comes along on that. And then there's also a lot of things that you did all year that maybe when I look back at it, you know, maybe we're not that it was slipping, but maybe some adjustments need to be made in personnel and the way we play. Maybe there need to be a little bit more patience in certain parts. There should have been maybe less patience, for example, in the power play and some things like that, that I probably could have jumped on that a little earlier. But hindsight's 20/20. But I think, again, you learn. Every team's different. No matter what's happened to the past, it's what your team you have now. And it's how you adjust to your group, the group you have now, not the group you had before, but today's group. And I'm mindful of that. You wake up every night at 2-3 in the morning, and you wake up in the morning and you're thinking about all 23 guys and what could I do to get them better? And are they on top of their game? And they're all different. Every player is a little bit different. How do I get the best of them? So that's, you know, where that is. But I definitely learned a lot. You learn a lot through the course of this season. And hopefully, like I said, a little bit of experience I had before, I'll be a little bit maybe more comfortable in certain situations.
What do you make of the fact that by being the underdog technically in this, or being the road team in this playoff series, you guys only have to take one in Vancouver in order to get home ice in your favor? When you think about the experience you've had at Bridgestone Arena this year, kind of how much does it excite you about, hey, if you can get one of these games in Vancouver, you're going to have the shot to win the series at Bridgestone Arena? How does that kind of maybe, I'll say motivate, but certainly how does that play into your mind strategically about what you have at home?
Well, we're delighted and excited and very grateful for what we have at home. I think that the fans rally behind us. I thought the players, you know, and I'll take part of the blame, probably put a little bit too much pressure on us early to to be a really good home team, because I know how, you know, all of these fans can turn games around and could push it to levels that maybe you don't think you can reach. And I didn't, you know, we didn't play particularly well at home. So it was hard to really feel that home ice feeling. And when Bridgestone really gets going and how special the place is and how, like I said, they could push you to heights you never thought you can hit. I thought down that stretch, every game it felt a little louder. Every game I felt it really energized our group. So I think our group really fed off that. And for me, yeah, I think you want to go to Vancouver. You can't say there's no pressure, because there's always pressure, but you want to go play your best game. And knowing you're always going to come home and you have an opportunity to win some games here with our group, with our fans and our building and how it rocks. So yes, love to get two. But I think for us, and this has been an important thing for us, is that we've really just kept, you know, our mindset of just worrying about ourselves and just put our best foot forward, just play our game. And when we do that, we get results, and we don't look too far ahead and we don't look too far behind. We've been staying in the moment. We look straight ahead, and it's never going to be more important through a playoff series. It'll never be more important starting either Sunday or Monday.
Bruno, what pleases you the most about the way your lines and D pairs have fallen into place here?
I think through the course of that stretch of games, I thought, you know, our lines got solidified. There's a lot of moving pieces there for the first, you know, 40 games or so, trying to find those combinations. And you know, I thought we had some guys that really stepped up, and we got some secondary scoring, which we didn't get a little bit earlier in the year. And guys are feeling better about their game. Confidence grew. A guy like Luke Evangelista's games is at the best it's been all year. Same with Tommy Novak. And then our fourth line, our kind of our identity line, has been unbelievable every night. And obviously the big line contributes nightly. They're always there. And then with Sizz and Jason Zucker and Janko, I really like their game of late. They've been responsible defensively. They maybe don't always get rewarded, but I think they're on the brink of getting going. So yeah, the combinations have been really good up front. On the back end, I think, you know, Yost and McDonough have a really good opportunity to be a pretty special pairing. And then Lowe's and Carr have been rock solid, kind of a backbone back there all year. And I think with Schenner and Staz, I think, you know, there's a good combination of veteran leadership, some heaviness, some toughness, and then really good mobility with Staz as a young player being able to play with a veteran. I think it's been a really good fit. And everybody that's come in. As you know, Cody Glass, it's some big games for us. It's going to take not just, you know, we all know what happens in playoffs. It's going to take all the guys, you know, coming. You know, Dante Fowler had a really good stretch of games. Tyson had a really good stretch. Jared Anderson Dolan, we're just trying to get to know, but I liked his game. So it's going to take everybody at different times. And again, with our group, we're going to rely and we're going to need them all.
Last one for you. Andrew Burnett's our guest, the head coach of the Predators on the Predators Playoff Preview Show. So, this was sent in by a fan, which I think was a question for us, but I'm going to ask it to you since you're the head coach. The question comes from the Animal, season ticket holder, one big fan, says, winning against some of the bigger teams in the regular season was thanks to an aggressive forecheck. How much emphasis will be put on that during the playoffs, and how effective can it be?
Well, I think that is our identity. You know, when you talk about relentlessness, I think our forecheck and our hounding of pucks is kind of what lets us have the puck a little bit more and create a little bit more offensively and play in their zone a little bit more than we play in our zone. So I think it's going to be really important for our group. I think if you're looking at our identity line with the Big Sexy and Sherwood and Smith, they're, if not one of the top five or six best forechecking groups, and they kind of they stir the drink for us a little bit early. And everybody seems to buy in, and we kind of get that. It's going to be crucial. They got mobile D, but I think with some of their bigger D, if we can make them turn, the more we can make them turn, the more we can pressure, the more we'll have the puck. And the more we have the puck, the more fun it is to play.
Coach, thank you very much for your time. Good luck this week as you guys head out to Vancouver to take on the Canucks next week. And you said that you haven't found the weaknesses yet of Vancouver, so I wish you luck tonight in your film study of finding those.
Yeah, me too. Thanks, guys. Anytime.
Yep. Thanks, Andrew Burnett, head coach of the Nashville Predators, joining us on the Predators Playoff Preview Show. I think he's probably found some of the weaknesses in Vancouver's game. I was wondering how he was going to answer that, by the way. If he was going to be like, well, you know, we try to keep that internal and we try to, or instead, I mean, an unbelievably politically correct way of not revealing anything. Just bravo.
What if he was just like, yeah, low blocker on Demko?
Well, he may not win the Jack Adams Award, but he may win an Emmy or an Oscar for that answering of that question right there. We continue along. It is the Predators playoff preview show. Max Herz is with us here on Stillman & Company, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
Novak, little hesitation move, got around Marchenko. Into the zone, left wing side. Evangelista to the right circle. Novak dragging, going to the net, and he scores. Roman Josi with the score. The Predators now lead by four.
That was from the home season finale, the homecoming game against the Columbus Blue Jackets. I said to somebody ago, the season finale at home was basically like that when Georgia schedules Vanderbilt on homecoming and then just beats crap out of them.
That
was what that was.
Bama senior day against UT Chat.
Yeah. Yeah, they just, Columbus didn't want to be there. They were so Cancun on three. It was unbelievable that night. I do wonder this, Max Herz, as we have the Predators playoff preview show continuing on here. When you look at the matchup against Vancouver, I asked Andrew Burnett, I said, where do you see a potential weakness against Vancouver? And he said, well, I just got started on them, so I'm going to try my darndest to find these weaknesses. And so maybe there will be some things we can take advantage of, but we really got to dive in before we can find those things out. And I kind of chuckled, and he kind of chuckled, and you kind of chuckled. Where do you see the advantages for the Predators?
It's interesting because I don't think the Canucks are really that far ahead of the Preds in terms of personnel, despite the fact that this is the 2-7 series in the conference. But I don't know if there's any area where I would say the Predators are necessarily closest. I think the thing I'm most looking forward to seeing, and you can't do it as much in the road games, but how the Predators attack line matching and who goes against the two big lines for the Canucks, which is the Elias Pettersson line. He's the best player, top line center, but the best line is probably the second line with JT Miller, the breakout overperform player of the year, who'd been great before, but man, has he been unbelievable for the Canucks this year. JT Miller with Brock Besser and Pia Suter. It'll be interesting to see if that's an assignment for the Sissons line, or maybe even the fourth line will get a lot of looks against them. I mean, it'll be by committee on the road games because you just can't line match in road games with last change. But that's the thing I'll be watching the most. And what that sets up is who the Predators get their top line out against. And I think if they can get Forsberg, Nyquist, O'Reilly out there against either of the third or fourth lines for the Canucks, even though the third line has Elias Lindholm now, who they got from the Flames, he hadn't really been that good there. So I think if the matchups go right, the Predators' top line could see some better matchups.
Do you think if we take out the first part of the season, because that was so long ago, and we really focus on, January 1st on, is it crazy to say that Vancouver really hasn't been great and the Predators have certainly played at a much better pace?
It's not crazy at all. The Predators have been the better team over, really anywhere you start after New Year's, which is wild to think about because the Canucks did well enough to win the division with the Oilers in it. Like, that is not easy to do. But the numbers at the beginning of the season were just so interesting for the Canucks because they were dominating. But it was like BABIP in baseball. Their PDO was through the roof. It's like they're getting unbelievably lucky.
What is PDO?
It's a measurement that tracks, like, basically how many goals you're scoring versus where you're shooting from and whether you're getting more than what you deserve. So at the beginning of the season, all of the people who look at that, and I'm not really someone who looks at that, but it was like a big joke with all the NHL Twitter people, like, oh, the Canucks are going to come crashing down. And they never came crashing down because, again, they beat Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl for the division, but they were not as good as they were at the beginning. So I think what you're saying is completely fair.
Ian, are you aware of the PDO?
Not really, no.
I mean, here we are doing a four-hour talk show every day, and we are unaware of the PDO.
Mm-hmm.
We need to spend some more time focusing on the PDO here on this program.
I do love the show, by the way. It's an honor to be on.
What is the Predators' PDO?
Doesn't really matter.
I mean, if we're going to PDO, we need to PDO. I mean, I wish I had known about this. I would have asked Andrew Burnett when he came on. How important is the PDO in games 1 and 2 on the road at Vancouver? Very important? Not very important?
Not very important.
Well, it is what it is. Okay, so I don't really know much about the Vancouver Canucks other than what you guys have all told me. So Randeep Janta is going to join us next. He is the color analyst for the Vancouver Canucks. We'll get his thoughts on kind of what they're thinking about the Predators. And we'll do that next. Here it is, the Predators playoff preview show on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. The Nashville Predators take on the Vancouver Canucks in the 2024 Stanley Cup playoffs. And again, Preds Pride Day is coming up, even though we don't know exactly when this playoff series will start, though my gut tells me it'll be Sunday. That's just my gut. That tomorrow there will be 2 Preds Pride pickups tomorrow at Kroger. Swing by Kroger and Brentwood on your lunch from 11 to 1 or after work in Mount Juliet from 5 to 7. And, of course, go to predators.com/playups for – did I say playups? Playoffs. Predators.com/playoffs for your source for tickets, watch parties, info, and so on and so forth. So I'm not going to lie. I don't know much about the Vancouver Canucks. I don't. You know, they haven't played the Predators in forever. And I will – know after game one probably everything there is to know. I'll be like an expert, like these NCAA tournament people that fill out a bracket, don't know anything about any team, and after the first weekend think they know everything. That's how I will be. But for more info, we go to Randeep Janta, who is the color analyst for the Vancouver Canucks and joins us now on the Predators playoff preview show. So I want to start with this right here, Randeep, which is, how did the people of Vancouver feel when it became official last night that it would in fact be the Nashville Predators that the Canucks were drawing in round one?
Hey, good to join you guys. But first of all, it was a situation where the Vancouver Canucks haven't been to the playoffs in a long time. So this fan base, first of all, it was just jubilation because it's been a couple of years of pain. But when it comes to the Predators, okay, this is the dilemma that the Canucks fans, like any other fan base, had in the Western Conference. You know you're running into a good team, whoever you play. But those games early on in the season that Vancouver did play against Nashville, they feel good about them, right? That's an opposition where you did the season sweep. So rather than playing a Vegas, you feel good about playing Nashville better. I don't think that's nobody's thinking this is an easy series. It's going to go a long way probably. But, that Predators team that the Vancouver Canucks saw earlier in the year, it was a very different team. So I want to say, Canucks fans are cautiously optimistic, but pick your poison, right? All the teams that they could have played were going to be difficult.
So I have Barry Trotz on the show every week, and maybe it was last week, I can't remember, but we were talking about the playoffs, and Barry took a very odd tone talking about expectations and pressure, and he said whoever the Predators draw, that team is going to have more pressure on them to win, he said, than we are, because he said that, hey, nobody thought the Predators are going to make the playoffs going into the year. And he said, Dallas, they're going to be the number one seed in the West, so everyone's going to expect them to win. And then when it comes, he said, the Canadian markets, they are so much tougher. The expectations are so much higher there. To which I told Barry Trotz, I said, Barry, I'll ramp the pressure up on you if you'd like here on the program. But, I mean, as far as the pressure is concerned, is there a sense in Vancouver of, it's nice to make the playoffs, but this is a team that finished in a spot to where they should win in the playoffs. And what do you make of that?
Yeah, it's an interesting conversation in Vancouver because at the beginning of the year, if you'd asked Canucks fans and people that cover this team, what's this team going to do? Forget the fans and the broadcasters. It was Jim Rutherford, who's the president of hockey operations. He said, if everything goes right, we're a playoff team. And this team really smashed through that. They were top of the Pacific Division for a majority of the season. They were on top of the Western Conference for over 70-plus days. So I think there has been a moving goalpost. At the beginning of the year, it was make the playoffs and you get in. And now they've shown that they can, hang with the big boys. They've had some of the best stretch of hockey this season and been one of the more consistent teams. There is an expectation, of course, anytime you play for a Canadian team, that you're going to win, that there's this, this curse of not winning a Stanley Cup that goes back to 1993 with the Montreal Canadiens. Rick Tocchet mentioned that yesterday to say that's an added pressure. But when you're on that ice, when you're already in the playoffs and you're feeling that pressure of the playoffs, that's something that, the pressure is going to be there regardless. But there is a a changing of expectations in Vancouver to say, oh, okay, we're just happy to be here. Maybe if you would have thought about that in October, it was a very, you know, a great situation if you just make the playoffs. Now, this team has essentially shown that they can do more, and that's why Jim Rutherford and Patrick Alvin went after Elias Lindholm. That's why they picked up Nikita Zadorov. That's why they added to this roster during the season where, you know, some of this, the star players, the depth players on this team did show that they're potentially capable of more. So is there pressure? Yeah, you know, holding a Canadian passport and playing hockey in this country, there's added pressure. But on top of that, you know, I should mention, guys, there's the majority of this team is U.S.-born players. So even though it's a team in Canada, this is a very American team.
Randeep Janda is our guest. He's the Canucks radio color analyst, getting you ready for the Preds and Canucks playoff series starting this weekend in Vancouver. Randeep, you mentioned the additions. The big one was Elias Lindholm coming from the Flames, coming from a division rival. First big move of trade deadline season. Preds have not played the Canucks since Lindholm was acquired. Only 11 points for him in 25 games. Was he solid? Has he done what he was traded to do at all or not as much?
So it started off great. He had two power play goals against Carolina in the first game outside of the All-Star break, where it was that weekend that he was traded to the Vancouver Canucks. But since then, it's been, you know, a lot of up and down. And the positive with Elias Lindholm has been that, you know, he has, despite some injuries, he has been, you know, pretty solid defensively. And what he gives them is a really solid spine at the center position. So it's JT Miller, Elias Pettersson, and essentially Lindholm is playing on a third line with Dakota Joshua and Connor Garland. That's a pretty good third line. Offensively, he hasn't had that touch yet. And I mentioned, you know, he has had injuries. He was shut down for a few games a couple of weeks ago. He just recently made his return back to the lineup. So with Lindholm, I think when they traded for him, and I talked to Rick Tocchet about this at the All-Star break, he liked the fact that he's a hybrid player. He can play on the wing. He can play down the middle, but the idea was that he'd play next to Elias Pettersson. They didn't really jive in that position, so what they've had to do is now play him down the middle of the ice, and that does come with a benefit. That Dakota Joshua, Connor Garland line is a really strong line. They've got an aggressive forecheck. They've been able to score quite a bit, and with Lindholm, they've had a small cameo thus far, but Lindholm is solid defensively, so that potentially gives them a shutdown line that might free up some, you know, some decent opportunities for a JT Miller or an Elias Pettersson that might not have to do the heavy lifting if Lindholm, Garland, and Joshua can work together. But Lindholm offensively hasn't been there, but defensively he's been rock solid.
In goal for the Canucks, Thatcher Demko has finally realized his potential, having a career year this year. He missed the last month, got injured in early March, came back, played and won in what seemed like a pretty easy win Tuesday night against the Flames. Still one more regular season game tonight, and he'll play it against the Jets, even though that game doesn't really have any meaning with it. What's the latest on his health? Any concerns about him either not being at full health or maybe being rusty off the injury going into the playoffs?
Yeah, I don't think you have to worry about rust with Thatcher Demko. He made 39 saves, and mind you, the team did a great job in front of him, limiting second chances, boxing out really well, and keeping a lot to the perimeter. But Thatcher Demko had to make two or three maybe saves in that game that were great A's on Pospisil and Nazem Kadri. And really, guys, he was locked in. This is a guy that, since he was drafted by the Vancouver Canucks, one of his, you know, biggest assets is, of course, he's a physical freak. He's one of the better goaltenders in the league. But mentally, he's extremely strong. He's a very focused individual. And he was talking about last week where, you know, he was pushing the training staff to up their game, essentially, to say, hey, I'm going to be aggressive with my comeback, and I want to be making sure that I'm ready to go. I don't want any rust on me. So that's a credit to what kind of goaltender he is. And he's really a game changer for this team. They're much better defensively than they were last year. Last couple of years, it was a horror show when it came to defense in Vancouver. The Canucks have gotten better at that front, but you still need some big saves from your star goaltender, and Demko's been able to do that. I don't think there's any worries in terms of the injury per se. It's just more of, all right, you know, against Calgary, he played well. Against a team like Winnipeg, you want him in the crease just so he can get some activity, get into that rhythm again. And when he plays Nashville, hopefully, you know, for Canucks fans, it's a player that's locked in, ready to go. But guys, there's a number of matchups in this series that excite me. Of course, Saros versus Demko is one of them. You've got two all-star level goaltenders. Both have been in the Vezina discussion in previous years. So you know Thatcher Demko is going to have to be on his game if Saros is playing on the other side of the rink.
Randeep Janta is our guest. He is the Vancouver Canucks color analyst. Speaking of those matchups, Quinn Hughes versus Josi, as far as the Norris Trophy is concerned, we had Josi on the show earlier today. I said, it's going to go to Quinn Hughes. And I asked if there was any added motivation for that. He said no. Then Hal Gill came on the show later, and he said yes, you know, speaking for Josi. So I do wonder this, you know, when I don't watch a lot of Vancouver Canucks, so I don't see a lot of Quinn Hughes. But I do wonder kind of, is this a kind of measuring stick matchup here for Quinn Hughes, knowing that he's the younger guy and Josi is an established perennial Norris Trophy contender?
Oh, totally it is. And Quinn Hughes, the way he is wired, guys, he's a very goal-focused individual. And, you know, with Roman Josi specifically, Quinn Hughes, excellent playmaker. You look at the 74 assists he has this year, and that goes back a couple of years. Even his draft year, we understood he was a great skater and an excellent passer. But one of the areas that he had a focus on this season was, I want to get my shots up. I see what Roman Josi does. I want to get my shots and my goals up. Like, he made that a target. He mentioned Roman Josi by name. So Quinn Hughes is looking around the league to say, those guys do it really well. I want to hit that level. And 91 points, he's had 22 multi-point games this year. He's had 11 three-point games. Like, this is a guy, offensively, has got it for a long time, but he's really ramped it up to another level. And defensively, much better than he was a couple of years ago. He had pretty bad plus minus a couple of years ago, and he took that personally. That was one of the things he worked on. He became, you know, much better defensively. So with Quinn Hughes, he's a very competitive person, but he's now also the captain of this team. He understands he has to really push his team up the mountain, so to speak. So that matchup of one-on-one with Roman Josi, Quinn may not say it, Roman Josi might not say it, but, you know, the best in any business, they do look across the street to say, how's that guy doing? And I think with Quinn Hughes, there's no doubt when he's already mentioned that, you know, I got to get my shots up like Roman Josi. You know, he's looking across the league. He's looking across the locker room and down the hallway to say, of course, there's that competitive spirit.
Last one for you. So I asked Andrew Burnett earlier today on the show. I said, you know, now that you've studied the film of Vancouver, are there any weaknesses that you see that maybe you can take advantage of? And his response was that he's just gotten started watching the film, so he hasn't gotten there yet as far as the weaknesses are concerned. And then I told him when we ended the conversation, I said, good luck finding the weaknesses. I know what the weaknesses of the Predators are. I mean, I know that I'm afraid that the Predators might have, once it becomes, you know, the big boy playoff hockey, that the Predators might have one line that can score. What is, you know, if there were to be something about the Canucks that you would say this is something the team really wants to make sure that they shore up ahead of this playoff series, what would it be?
Yeah, there's a couple of things that I would highlight. And I wouldn't necessarily say a weakness, but to me an X factor for the Vancouver Canucks moving forward here is Elias Pettersson. He's a guy that, of course, has put up his 89 points, but at the beginning of the season, guys, he looked like he was going to be a 120-point player, 130-point player. That's how much he was producing. He hasn't done that. So when you have JT Miller driving his line, putting up nearly 40 goals, putting up over 100 points, and just a physical presence, and, you know, that's another matchup I'm looking at Philip Forsberg and JT Miller, just two of the best power forwards in the game. You know he's going to do his job on a line. Lindholm does play that kind of that shutdown role on the third line. You're okay with that matchup as well. With Elias Pettersson, he's been playing alongside Nils Höglander and Ilya Mikheyev, and it's just been, you know, hot and cold. And even though he picked up an assist in the last game, he's picking up points here or there. He's not shooting very much. If you get Elias Pettersson at his absolute best, he is one of the best players in the NHL. However, if you're able to get 60% from him, you know, that can change a series. That 1-2 punch of JT Miller and Elias Pettersson is very important for this team to have success. So I think the X factor for me for the Canucks is something they need more of is Elias Pettersson at his best. This is a good team, but, you know, that ceiling, are you able to hit it without Pettersson being that guy? And the other aspect I would say is the power play. This is a 10th overall power play in the NHL. If you start looking at the players that they have on the power play, they should probably be a top five power play. So it's kind of gone stale at times in the playoffs, especially early on in the playoffs. Game 1 and 2, we know the referees are very, very happy blowing that whistle. Can you take advantage of that? And if they can't, you know, that can swing the momentum to to Nashville, and maybe that gives them a little opportunity, maybe a little bit of life in the game. So I look at the power play and Elias Pettersson.
Randeep Janta is the color analyst for the Vancouver Canucks Radio Network. Randeep, excellent insight. Thank you so much. We look forward to the series. I know you got one more to call, but we look forward to the series and are really excited about what's next.
Yeah, great to join you guys, and it's a little episode of Know Thy Enemy, I guess, right? So I'm sure we'll keep in touch in the future as well.
Absolutely. Randeep, thank you so much.
Take care.
Yep. Randeep Janta, he is the color analyst of the Vancouver Canucks. Again, said the power play, 10th in the league, should be top five. I'm a little worried about the Predators' power play. And then he said Pettersson. You know, I wonder if Pettersson, you know, look, you know how I am about pay what you owe. I wonder if it, you know, it sounds like he was lighting it up, signed that contract, and then all of a sudden wasn't lighting it up.
Yeah, he had that hat trick against the Preds back in October on Halloween night.
I worry about Vancouver's power play.
You do?
Oh, yeah. The Vancouver power play has crushed the Preds over the past couple of years.
You know what? I think I remember that. I think I remember I was at a concert.
Last season.
I want to say I was at a concert. It could have been last year. It could have been the year before. I can't remember. I think Hines was the coach. And I think it was something where, like, the Predators were up 1-0, and then all of a sudden they were down, like, 4-1, and they allowed, like, three straight power play goals or something crazy like that. Who knows?
I think what Andrew Brunette said, too, he wants the team, and Hal Gill said this, too. I mean, you got to roll four lines. If they're just rolling the four lines over and over, playing even strength, not a lot of stoppages, I think that favors the Preds.
So I have a thought on that I want to pick up as we round out the Predators playoff preview show on Stillman & Company. 1025-106 for the game. The Predators playoff preview show rolls along. We do not know when the Predators will play game one, but my gut tells me it will be on Sunday. Max Herz.
Hey, I've followed your gut a lot of places.
There you go. My gut tells me it'll be Sunday. Now, let me say this. We talked about, you know, okay, Hal Gill said they need to roll four lines, and Bruno said whatever. Here's my thing. The Predators are going to win this series if they win game one, which I'm not sure they will, but I think they'll win the series if they win game one. And the second thing is they'll win the series if this happens. If the secondary scoring shows up, so if Tommy Novak shows up, if, you know, like that line, you know, with Sherwood and Cole Smith, if those guys pop in a couple, my guy, Jankowski, if he, you know, pots one or two in, they're going to win the series. If the Predators have to rely on Nyquist, O'Reilly, Forsberg, Yossi, they are not going to win this series if they have to rely on those guys alone.
Or they're
going
to have to win 1-0.
Either that. I think Saros will be fine. I think he'll probably steal a game, maybe one. You know, you can't expect him to steal more than two. I think he'll steal a game in the series. Saros will give you a chance to win. He won't win you every game, but he'll give you a chance to win. And I think your top line will be okay. But if these other guys, if Tommy Novak turns into a pumpkin, you're going to lose. And then if these guys show up and they put the puck in the net, you're going to win this thing in five. Because I think, again, you win game one, then all the pressure's on Vancouver in game two. And you might be able to squeak that out some way, somehow. You go up 2-0, you're going to win the series because you're going to win a game at Bridgestone Arena. So I am of the mindset that that's what it's going to take. And I think those are the two things that are most important to me. Win game one and the secondary scorers, the guys that are now getting some contracts over there. McCarron got a contract. Cole Smith got a contract. Jankowski got a contract. Novak got a contract. Those guys score. Zucker is capable of scoring in the playoffs. If those guys score, they're going to win.
Yeah, Zucker was going to be the one I named, and also a little maybe revenge factor for Anthony Beauvillier. No. Started the season out there.
No, Beauvillier. He's trying the best he can. We're proud of him. But as far as expecting him to score, I don't feel very confident about that. That's it for us. Okay, so Vandy Baseball has been running on 94.9. That will be flipped over here to 102.5 against Florida.
Go Doors.
And then the Sounds will be on 94.9 after that. Stillman & Company. Max, thanks for stopping by for the
My pleasure.
Predators playoff preview show. Stillman & Company will be back tomorrow at 2:00.